thus to help us so that we may all be faithful in fulfilling the ministry. Because in the Word of God, we have all the directions, all the teachings that we need to help us fulfill our ministry. And then this morning, we touch on the reality of our faithfulness when we actually lived out our lives. The importance of our faithfulness, we touched on chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 7, where we must be faithful men in order to commit to other faithful men who may teach others also. But how is our faithfulness understood in relation to God's faithfulness? God's faithfulness must be understood correctly because it is directly related to ours. How can this God be trusted? What is God's assurance and promise to you and to me as we witness and serve Him on this earth? What are the terms? What are the conditions? All these understanding must be Bible-based so that when we face trials and difficulties or face certain things, they may run counter to our experience or our understanding. We will not be disheartened or discouraged and to give up and stop ministering and stop serving. And so our understanding of our faithfulness in relation to God's faithfulness, what are God's promises to me as I serve Him? For example, Jesus said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And Jesus qualified Himself before He gave us that assurance that all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And all we need to do is to tell people about the power of what Jesus Christ has done in the lives of sinners. He rose from the dead. He defeated death for us. And that's why out of all the many aspects of the gospel, Paul emphasized in verse 8, the resurrection of Christ. He rose from the dead, the seed of David, the God-man. According to the promises and prophecies of God, He came and He died and He rose from the dead. This was the heart and soul of our message. A very powerful message that can save a sinner out of hell and turn him into a saint on his way to heaven. And with Jesus Christ promising us, giving us this gospel message as the great commission to go out into the world, we may feel that we are invincible, untouchable, always victorious. And yet, the reality is far from victory, far from invincibility, because believers are bullied, believers are kicked around like a football. And Paul experienced that in his life more than you and I could ever imagine. And yet he said, God is faithful. Then why was Paul scourged, beaten three times, each time 39 strokes? Why was God kicked around like a football by these people and stoned him half dead, left him there to die? Why was he in the sea, in the ocean, experiencing shipwreck, not knowing whether he will drown or be saved to continue on the ministry? He seemed like a helpless rag doll, and yet all power had been given unto me in heaven and in earth. God is always faithful. Then why must believers suffer such shame and humiliation and weaknesses? Are we not supposed to be invincible with the all-powerful Christ by our side? He promises that in the Great Commission, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. If Christ is with me, then why do we feel so weak? Can get thrown into prison. And the bullies and the evil people seem to have full sway over our lives, our ministry, and our future. And therefore, how can God be faithful? You and I must understand the faithfulness of God. And so the Apostle Paul explained to Timothy and to us in verse 9, when God promised us His faithfulness, remember, it's based upon what Jesus Christ had done. That the salvation in Jesus Christ will continue to spread. And it cannot be stopped, even though when the servants whom God had appointed and anointed to carry the message, they could be stopped physically. They could be bound. They could be incarcerated and put into prison in chains. But not the word of God. And that's what we must first understand the faithfulness of God to be. When Jesus Christ said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, and all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, it does not mean that physically you and I will not suffer hurt and pain, even death. We will. That's why there are so many hundreds and thousands of believers in the past who have been martyred. That's why when you read in the Old Testament, so many of his saints have been killed and martyred. And all they did was to obey God's word and God's will faithfully. You and I must have a proper understanding of the faithfulness of God. It is not the protection of this earthen tabernacle. It is the word of God that will never be bound, even when we are bound, because Paul was bound in prison. And he knew that the word of God will not be bound, cannot be bound. And it will continue to spread far and wide. And if God said, it will cover to the very uttermost part of the earth, and it will. Not in his lifetime, of course. But in our lifetime, 2,000 years later, how true had God promised been that the gospel will be spread throughout the rest of the world. And has it not spread to this part of the world, Southeast Asia, and into the Far East? And then every continent has been given the gospel, as Jesus Christ promised. The word of God is never bound. That's why he said, wherefore, wherein I suffer trouble, I undergo tremendous hardship. As an evildoer, they treated me like a criminal. They dealt with me like a common criminal. And even unto bonds. Second, final imprisonment. Soon after this, he will be taken home to glory. But he has this deep assurance and understanding of God's faithfulness. Christ's promise and God's faithfulness is not my life will be without incarceration and abuse and persecution. But that the word of God, anywhere that God determines his word to reach, it will be rich. You can't stop the word of God. You can stop the messenger, but never the message. And that must be our understanding of God's faithfulness in our lives as well. We are all left behind after salvation to carry in our body the key to the entrance of the kingdom of heaven, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the key. And the evidence of the power of this key is your life of holiness and godliness and faithfulness and righteousness. And even though we may be stopped physically, but the message can never be stopped. Because as far as the message goes, that's exactly where God has determined. And you will go, even long after we are gone. God will accomplish all that he has purposed. The word of God can never, never be bound. And that is God's faithfulness, God's promise and guarantee. And you and I know how important the word of God is, because without the word of God, there is no salvation. The Spirit will take the word of God and bring conviction and conversion in the lives of every sinner. That's how important your ministry and my ministry is. That's how important your witness and my witness is in the eyes of God. Because if they look at our lives and we are wretched and we are liars and thieves and we are not people who are faithful and true to our word, then when you give the gospel, the people will reject the gospel, because when they look at our lives, it is a complete mess. A complete wreck, full of carnality and sin and evil. Why would someone believe and embrace a Christ that has brought forth such a wicked, carnal individual? However, if our lives is that of holiness, trustworthiness, honesty, goodness, and righteousness according to the scriptures, the faithful word, and then when you give the gospel, they have already seen with their own eyes the power of that gospel. That's why the word of God will not be bound. And if you recall the book of Philippians, how many Christians in Philippi were encouraged and strengthened in the faith? Because their beloved spiritual father, Paul, loved the Lord Jesus Christ and obeyed him even at the expense of his freedom and his life. And they were strengthened in the faith to do likewise. to follow in the same example of the great Apostle Paul, their beloved spiritual father. And that is exactly what we need to do when we have a proper understanding of God's faithfulness in your life and in my life, whereby you may suffer the loss of your job, you may suffer the loss of your health, loss of property, loss of bank account, loss of freedom, including our lives, and God will still remain faithful because the word of God cannot be bound. Even though we may be bound, we may be stopped, but not the very word of God itself. And everyone whom God has chosen to be saved will be saved. And that's what Paul concludes in verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain. And the word they is emphasized. Who are the they? The elect's sake. That they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. For those who remain yet to be saved, and for those who are already saved, they will also persevere and endure to the very end because of the proper understanding of God's faithfulness. The purpose of it is to bring about more salvation and more conversion and conviction to that which is right. To all the elect, future sinner turned to saints, present group of believers who are already children of God, strengthened in the faith to be stronger than ever before because they see in the lives of many, many mature believers of their courage, their strength, their trust. One of the ministries we deliberated and discussed in this session retreat is how to improve the follow-up, how to improve in the ministries. Because some people came to our church, they find that our church is cold and nobody go up to them to warm them and to encourage them to be more active in the church. And so we deliberated on how to reach out to them because some people may need an additional little tug, a little pull toward this fellowship or that fellowship and so on. And then we focus also on the fact that when they come, how are you going to look after them and minister to them in the fellowship? Because the older they are, the more important they are to us in the church. The golden years, most of their lives have been lived. They have a few more years to live. Maybe it could be counted within 10 fingers or some maybe within one hand. Right? And then you go down the line to those who are in the senior adults. 10 fingers and maybe 10 toes. And then you go down. Why do I consider them as most important? Because of their witness. Because of their testimony. Because many of the younger ones need the kind of example and testimonies. Good and bad included. For those who have made mistakes in their young life, if you have made right with God and you have asked God to forgive you because you have messed up your family life, for example, or you messed up your working life because in the early years you thought that the measure of success is based upon the abundance of the material things that I possess. And then you wasted the best years of your life in the pursuit of such things. And then when you look back in your own life now that you are in your evening years, you're retired, everything, you just look back and you realize that it is one big gigantic emptiness, exactly as what the apostle, King Solomon shared with us in Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities. You could share with the young people during their YAF meeting because they need to hear from your lips what had happened in your own life to strengthen, to guide the elect, to help them. And for you who have succeeded, that you have stuck on to have walked, continued to walk on the straight and narrow path. And you have experienced God's goodness and God's faithfulness. Also share with the younger. That's how important you are because your life is lived. You can look back and share from your experience, plus or minus, whatever it is. If it is a mistake, share with them so that they will not repeat the same mistakes. If it's an encouragement or a blessing, share with them as well. For the elect's sake. Paul understood this. I endure all things. I'm prepared to face with patience. That's the word patience, endurance. whatever difficult circumstances I may have to experience in life, for the sake of the ones whom God has chosen, who are yet to be saved, and those who are already saved, I must not stray away from faithfulness. I must stay the course regardless. There are so many people around me who need to see how you and I live. That's what Paul understood. That's how his life was lived. He did not live for himself. He definitely lived for Christ. And the second most important people in his life, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, were the other saints. The future saints and the present saints. That they may also obtain the salvation. That means they will persevere to the very end. So that they will make sure of their salvation. Because we are easily deceived. More so today than in the days of Paul. Because we are living in the last days where Christianity has already fallen. In the time of Paul, the Christianity that he faced was very different from what we are facing today. They didn't have denominations like Presbyterian, Baptists, and Lutherans, and so on. They just have simply one word, Christian. But their brand of Christianity was fiery. Fiery. Like the restaurant who provided the dinner, Chili Api. Api is fire, right? Chili, fiery chili, you know. Very hot, very spicy. Because in those days, the moment you say, I want to be a Christian, literally, they have to lose their job, lose their farm, lose their family, lose their freedom, lose their life. Because by now, Nero had already burned Rome and blamed Christians. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or Gentile. The moment you call yourself a Christian, you are open season. And some of these horrible, despotic kings in the Roman Empire will crucify Christians and line them up from one township to another township. And after they are dead, they will not bring the body down. They will light them up at night as lamps to light the streets. They'll burn the carcasses of Christians from one township to the next so that the people can travel as if it was daylight. And these are the sons and fathers and mothers and children of people. For the sake of Christ, they die in that kind of manner. Is God faithful? Yes. Because the word of God will never be bound. And the purpose of God's faithfulness is not our own physical, bodily, earthly tabernacle protection and preservation. This body will decay. This body will be dissolved. That's how the Bible describes it. Because God has prepared for us a tabernacle that is not made with the hands of man. A building not made with the hands of man, but with the hand of God that is eternal. Waiting for us. That's why if you think the faithfulness of God means health and wealth, preservation of this earthen tabernacle, then you are most mistaken. And if this concept remains in you, and then when you suffer pain and diseases and incarceration, you're going to be disheartened and discouraged and be disappointed with God's faithfulness. If God's faithfulness means I will not suffer physical hurt and pain, then when you suffer physical hurt and pain, you're going to be upset with God. God's faithfulness is not that you and I will not be bound, but that the word of God will not be bound, because there are many whom God has elected. They will be given the gospel. They can never stop that. And that must be your assurance. Even after you are gone, God can still use you. It's not the life of Paul and many of God's faithful servants continue to encourage our hearts even till today. When you read and study the life of Paul, life of Moses, even as far back as Moses, are you not encouraged by his faithfulness, his devotion? Their lives still impact us, even now. So can yours and mine. For the election, the purpose of God's faithfulness is to build up other believers, other Christians. For those who are yet to be saved, they may come to know Christ. You think the death and sacrifice of Stephen did not impact Saul? I'm sure it did. To hold on to the garments of all those stoners. As they stoned this man to death, Paul stood there and observed, and he heard what Stephen said. No anger, no animosity, no vengeful curse. He prayed and asked God to forgive them, for they knew not what they did. What kind of person is that? All he wanted to do was to give us the word of Christ. And Paul thought that he was an enemy of God. And yet this was his response. And soon after that, the next chapter, a few chapters later, Paul was converted. You think Paul had forgotten? How could someone forget the kind of visual testimony of what Stephen did and what he said within his hearing? And that is exactly what your life of faithfulness, with a correct understanding of God's faithfulness, the purpose of God's faithfulness in your life and in my life, is to build up the faith of others around you and me. In particular, for us as parents, our own children. We also talk about the effectiveness of the junior worship. Somebody mentioned how some of our children who are grown up, they are no longer with us. I remember I was talking to one of my two daughters. She was reflecting and told me, "Mom, Dad, many of my cohort who grew up with me since kindergarten days and YF days, they're no longer in the church." That's what she said. And she is right, because she was looking at her contemporaries and her friends. They are all now like her age, mid-20s, working, but no longer in church. Sucked in by the world. Some don't even bother. Some turn their backs on Christ completely. And then we look at the lives of the parents. And then the conclusion, the junior worship, what they are teaching on Sunday for a couple of hours is to supplement the testimony and the witness and the teaching of the parents. If the parents are godly, what we do is to supplement. But if the parents are ungodly, the parents are carnal, the parents do not bear a holy witness, then what we do is vanity. What can 2 hours on Sunday do compared to 8-10 hours Monday to Saturday from parents whom they look up to far, far higher than that of the Sunday school teachers? That's how important the witness can be. The more the person around you knows you, spend time with you, the greater will your impact be, obviously. Obviously. And the Apostle Paul understood this very well. That's why he said, "I endure all things for the elect's sake, no matter how difficult. I will not stray from my path of faithfulness, because my God is faithful. And if God wants me to suffer such pain and humiliation for the sake of Christ, so that others may be saved, so that other elect, chosen ones, may be strengthened in the faith, so be it. It's worth it. God is doing a work that I may not be aware of, but I know God is doing it, and God is aware of it. He's working in the hearts of many whom God had elected and chosen, so that they will be faithful to the very end. At the end, they will have eternal glory waiting for them." We need this more today. Remember, Christianity has fallen away, and there are more false professing believers in our 21st century than in Paul. Under the fiery persecution for the faith, Christianity, or all Christians, were very true and pure because of the cost of becoming a Christian. Losing job, losing family, losing freedom, losing life. And yet they still want to become Christian. That's why Christianity was very pure, because of the fire of persecution that will burn away all the fake ones. Until the 4th century, when Constantine turned Christianity into a state religion and then passed a law to say that if you want to serve in my empire, you first have to be a Christian, because he conquered Europe using the symbol of the cross. That's what he did. And so from that point onwards, everybody, "I want to be a Christian, I want to be a Christian." And that's how Christianity turned into a respectable religion, because of what he did. And from that point onwards, it became so diluted. People all became Christian because they want to be a treasurer, a governor, in this position, that position, holding high office. So everybody suddenly wanted to become a Christian. But today, Christianity is in the billions all over the world. A majority of them are not even born again. And that's why all the more Faithful believers must be prepared to endure all things, because many of these things may come very well from professing believers themselves. They may be the ones who will hinder you. They may be the ones who will make your life even more difficult. And they call themselves Christians. And you and I have tasted this in our short lifetime on earth, even as believers. Who was the one who kicked Reverend Toh out of the church after 50 over years of ministering to them? Simple illustration. Were they strangers? No. They were his students. Not only were they his students, they were his spiritual children. He brought them up. He helped them grow up to be who they were. Taught them, graduated them, handed them the diploma on the day of graduation at FEPC. Not knowing that sometime down the road, these are the same individuals who will give Reverend Toh the ultimatum. Believe the word of God has mistakes, you stay on. Believe the word of God is perfect, you get out. The same people that he brought up, nurtured and fed and guided and helped are the same people who will kick him out of his own ministry after 15 over years. So that when Reverend Toh wrote them a letter, do I have permission from you, Chelsea, to speak in the pulpit of the church? Answer, no. Not permitted. Okay. That was it. Total strangers, no. Ate together, prayed together, served together, taught together. That's why it is so hard. Endure all things. It's one thing to suffer that kind of treatment from total strangers. Perhaps it's even expected. Even from professing believers from other denominations, maybe even expect that as well. But from within, someone that you have brought up since young, Reverend Toh saw them when they were in school uniform. Not knowing that somewhere down the line, this would happen. Endure, persevere for the elect's sake. And so after everything was more or less done, of course, the trial was not over yet. During one of the outings, Dr. Jeffrey Koo shared with us, he's, of course, Reverend Toh's son-in-law. They had some outing at the East Coast, one of the chalet. And so they were seated outside at the veranda, overlooking the East Coast, the sea. Dr. Jeffrey Koo asked Reverend Toh, do you have any regret? What you did? Nope, no hesitation. Nope, no regret. No regret. How could there be a regret? Choosing Christ or the ministry? Christ, obviously. No regret. But he endured. I can't imagine what's it like after all these years to start a brand new church. After all these years of giving your life and helping the congregation, only a handful would bother to find out exactly why he resigned. And then to start a brand new church at the age of 80 plus. To start a church at the age of 30 plus is daunting enough. But to start at the age of 80 plus, to me, it's an enormous, frightening experience that I dare not even imagine. And yet, that's what he had to do in the evening years, to endure all things for the elect's sake. But what he did, he helped all of us as faculty members. He helped all of us to strengthen us that he would sacrifice so much for the sake of truth. How can we do any less? Because we all learn so much from his life, his testimony. Your testimony and impact can be tremendous and impact the lives of younger ones around you for eternity's sake. And that is the faithfulness of God when he promised us, my word will not be bound, not that you will not be bound. And the purpose of my faithfulness is to strengthen the faith of other believers. As I see your faithfulness can be used to help other believers all the way until they are certain of their salvation, that they will receive the eternal glory that awaits them. That's God's faithfulness. The purpose of it is to build up the faith of others around you. And I hope you realize that as your new motivation. If you feel tired, if you feel that you may be serving alone as the minority, and you want to back off and want to have some moment of ease, please don't. Please reconsider. God has been so faithful to you all this while. And the elect around you still need you to remain faithful and not to be slothful. But what is our faithfulness in relation to God's faithfulness? Well, this is a faithful saying. Same as last night, a faithful saying. All right, it will never lie to you. It will never, never deceive you. First, if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. That means if you have died with Christ, you will also have eternal life with Christ. That's your salvation. It's guaranteed. Whatever happened to you on earth, Satan can never take away your life with Christ. The more you know God's word, the harder it will be for the evil one, the god of this world, to deceive you, making you think that you can lose your salvation. Because if he succeeds in making you think you lose your salvation, he knows that he will turn your witness into a wreck. How can you witness and serve when you are not even sure of your salvation? You walk around like a man who is deflated, like a man who has lost his first love. Because you're not sure of your salvation, because of your lack of understanding of God's word. But the more you understand God's word, the more your salvation is anchored upon the faithful word, the harder it will be for him to make you doubt. Because even if he succeeds in making you doubt, you can still never lose it. If you're truly born again in Christ, your salvation is not based upon your knowledge. And therefore, even if he succeeds in making you doubt your salvation, in reality, if you die right there and then, even in your doubt, you will still go to heaven. Because if you are truly dead with Christ, you will also live with him for eternity. That will never change. That is based upon God's faithfulness, God's guarantee. So first, our salvation, a faithful saying. Second, if we suffer, we will also reign with him. Another guarantee. All these four are first-class conditions, conditions of reality and fact. If you suffer, you will reign with him. And all of us will suffer. That's why we have been focusing on suffering for Christ, so that we may have a proper biblical understanding of what it means to suffer for Christ. Because it will be worth it when you and I reign with Christ, to be there with Christ as he judged the sheep and the goats, especially the goats when he sentenced them to hell just prior to the millennium. We will reign with him, and he will sentence and judge all the fallen angels, the demons, and send them to hell. And then we will be there when God sent the Antichrist to the lake of fire at the end of the millennium at the great white throne judgment. And we will be there. We will truly reign with him, even as we suffer for him. Remember, suffering is not limited to only another human being persecuting us. Suffering can come in many forms, including the pain and aches of aging, including diseases, as long as we know that these are not sent and allowed by God because of sin in our lives. We have established that in our first message at the Church Bible Study when we studied the meaning of suffering for Christ. We have given you all the biblical arguments, and you will one day reign with him. And so when you suffer, look up. Don't be despondent. What awaits you is heaven, waiting for you, a place as perfect, glorious, eternal, where there is no death, there is no sin, there is no parting, there is forever. And that is why it is so important for us on earth as brothers and sisters in Christ to continue to love one another, care for one another, help one another, forgive one another. Because we are going to be forever. And this time in eternity. And what a blessed and wonderful time to serve together the Lord Jesus Christ, the same Lord on earth, with joy, with unity, with harmony, and with gladness. And then to continue to worship the Lord together as a body of believers, where you encourage me, I encourage you, and then we are all found in heaven together. You know how wonderful? Can you imagine how wonderful that is? All in heaven, in front of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our loving Heavenly Father seated on the throne. And we are all there. And on earth, helping one another. In heaven, rejoicing together as well. What a glorious and a wonderful time. Don't you agree? Should that not encourage you to remain faithful? Don't stray away in sin to the right or to the left. If we deny Him, He will deny us. So don't deny Him. Don't be ashamed of Christ. If you deny Him here on earth, He will deny us in heaven. So let people know that you are a Christian, a holy, godly Christian. Stand up for Him. Even if you have to stand alone, stand up for Him. Even if you have to suffer loss, fine. Remember, they may bind our body, but the Word of God cannot be bound. And the Word of God is more important than this body of ours. Never forget that. And endure all things for the elect's sake. Because God will always be faithful. And the strength of God's faithfulness, and whatever He guarantees and promises, He will do. So don't deny Him. Don't be ashamed of Him. Because if you do, He will deny you in heaven. But what happens if I don't have faith? If I'm unfaithful? If we believe not? Right? Faith is the noun, belief is the verb. So if I'm unfaithful, Paul worded it by saying, if we believe not, yet God will always remain faithful. Just because you are unfaithful, God will not be unfaithful to us. He will always be faithful because He knows that we are far from perfect. And sometimes we may stumble and fall and sin and transgress. That means we stop believing because the circumstance and the challenge may be too overwhelming because we didn't have the faith to trust. And then we stumble and we fall. We all know that experience. That is the wood, hay and stumble part of our lives. We all have them. We all know that. But trust that God will always be faithful. And when He promises us in that state and condition, if you repent and humble yourself and come to Me and confess your sin, what does the Bible promise us? God is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Take away all the guilt, all the stain of sin, and you will be right with God again because He will always keep His word, even though sometimes we may not keep our word. That's the strength and the power of God's faithfulness that must be the foundation of our faithfulness. Understand it well. It is not that our body will be protected without harm, without hurt, without pain, without sorrow. It's the word of God that will never be bound. You be faithful and you trust the Lord. How He will take your testimony and take the word of God and bless others, the elect. So endure whatever the Lord has in store for us. And understand the strength and the power of God's faithfulness. It is the bedrock of our faithfulness, our witness, our life, our salvation, our eternity. God will always be faithful. Why? Because He just simply cannot, no power to deny Himself. That is His character. And He will always be faithful. All the days of our lives into eternity, God can always be trusted. Believe in Him. The Bible tells us that if you and I obey the word of God, it will always be for our good. Not most of the time, not sometime, always for our good. But understand the goodness from God's perspective, that the word of God will never be bound. Endure for the elect's sake all things. And understand the strength and the power of God's faithfulness. He can never deny Himself. He will never, never lie to us. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, strengthen our faith and our resolve to live for Thee. For we know that we're living in the tail end of the last days. For very soon, our Lord Jesus Christ will descend from the clouds of glory, and with the last trump, we will all be caught up. We long for that blessed day to come, and while we wait, Lord, teach us to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom, to be more excited in the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For we have a God who is always faithful, who is always trustworthy, for He cannot deny Himself, for He is a faithful God. Help us, therefore, to have the right understanding of God's faithfulness in relation to our witness and our faithfulness, that though we may be bound, but the word of God will never be bound. And help us therefore to endure all things so that this life may impact the lives of other children of God, to help them live more faithfully for the Savior's sake. And help us to always make sure that our foundation and our faithfulness is anchored in the bedrock of the faithfulness of our God Almighty, who cannot deny Himself, who will always keep His word. Thank you, Lord, for being with the session members as we met and deliberate on matters concerning Thy church and Thy people. We pray, Father, for strength and wisdom to carry out the many decisions that have been made, so that this church may grow from strength to strength, and all who come to this church may be encouraged and be blessed with Thy truth in order to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 339. Thank you. Hymn 339. 339, please rise. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ can hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, He can hold me fast. 339.